Okay. Well, what do you think about this idea of time and judgment? How do you all see time? Because time is something that if you don't have a concept of time and what time is, you find that time is not going to be on your side. Right? Time will just go by. Time can be wasted. Time can be something where you look back and regret. So time is something where if you don't fully understand it, the concept of time. Like, okay, what's your perspective of time? See, like Solomon, his time idea is, you know, it's after a while very dismal, very, you know, it's always about death. He always look at death and then he can't see beyond. So to him, time is almost like I can't do anything about it kind of thing. Right? How do you see how do you see time? Partly it's because you have a lot of time. You have a whole life ahead of it of you. Yeah. Just passes by very quickly, lah. Mm. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the thing, you see, because time is so sometimes very, you can't catch it. It's very, you know, it's ongoing. So I see time as, you know, this, it's constantly moving on and on and on. If you don't buy back time, you know, it's just gone. If you don't use it, it's wasted. If you don't use it properly, you regret it. Because time will just go by. It's either you regret it or it's wasted. Right? It's just gone. And then when it's like that, then the problem is that it's finished. Hi, come. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about time, how time is something that just passes by very quickly. Before you know it, it's going to be the end of the year. Everything is just going to go one thing after another, especially when we are so busy and there's so many things going on. So how do we see time? So I just started by talking about how do we see time. Time is money. For you lah, as a lawyer, everything is time is money. Yeah, sure. Time is money for people. How much do you charge 1 hour? $2.50. My goodness. $2.50? Not a lot. I'm sure the senior pastor partners will be more, right? So what, 5, 6, 1,000? Wow. 1 hour, 1.4. Hi. Talking about time. Time. Yeah, talking about time. Time is it's never on our side. Yeah, so some of them are in Perth. They're there for Becky's wedding. Okay, that's fine. No problem. We can still carry on. I think 3 or 4 of them are there, right? Audrey is there. Audrey, Sil, Gabby, John, I think John is also there. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, well, let's begin by, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can have together to study your word. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to continue to understand this idea of time and judgment. So we ask, dear Lord, that you will bless this time, bless those who are not with us, who are away. Pray that you will especially watch over each one. Ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So today we're going to continue this idea of time and judgment. Right? We talked about it, how we should discern time and judgment from our previous lesson. We were talking about learning to keep the king's command. Don't go against the commands of the king. Nothing harmful will come to those who follow his commands. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Okay, now let's continue with Ecclesiastes A. And in verse 6, we read, because for every matter, there is time and judgment. So in every matter, there's this idea of time and judgment. In everything that happens in life, past, present, future. Right? So in everything in life, everything that we go through, there's always this idea of timing and this idea of choice, right? So time and judgment, there's a time for every matter. Seeing the timing of things, time will tell the outcome of a matter. Time is wasted when bad choices are made, right? So depending on your choice, depending on your discernment, how do you see the judgment, the choices we make, and then you also see the idea of time. Whether that time is wasted, whether you regret with reference to that time. And then sometimes the regret will come years later. Sometimes people live in regret because they have made bad choices in life. They wish they have done things. Sometimes they wish they can turn back times. Sometimes it's the things they say, and then they regret years later. Or the choices they made. Like, for example, there was this lady who I spoke to many, many years ago. I don't know whether I've shared this with you. And she was crying and bawling. She was about, 55 years old. But I was only a young pastor then. And she was telling me, she was a Caucasian lady from Holland. She was in our church for a while together with her son and daughter, and they've gone back to Holland, and she was crying and crying and crying one day. And I was a young pastor then. She said, will God forgive me? She had an abortion when she was 18 years old. 30 years later, she's still regretting that decision. The guilt of it. Wow. Time and judgment. You see? The very important that we understand this principle, there's a principle that, this idea of time and judgment. And so when we have the discernment, when we make good choices or bad choices, outcome will determine. Time will tell. Time will determine whether there's a good choice or a bad choice. Right? So there's the time. Okay, maybe what I'll do now is that I'll go through the whole thing and then we will discuss along the way. Okay, so then there's also the time and the unknown. So there's time and judgment. And then there's this thing called time and the unknown. Okay, and he goes on to say, though the misery of man increases greatly. Now, he goes back to this dismal mode. For he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him what it will occur? Who can tell him when it will occur? Right? So there's the unknown. The unknown with reference to what will happen next. Okay? So with what will happen next? And when will this, what will happen next? So he doesn't know. He doesn't know, okay, what's going to happen? And when it will happen. Right? like someone during the week was talking to me about cancer, all of a sudden the person has cancer, right? And there's a dreaded C word that everybody hates. But it's becoming very common now. In fact, if you detect early, there's a high chance you will survive it. Okay? And the idea of how it happens. And sometimes these things just happen out of the blues. You're not prepared for it. It comes along the way. And, you know, it just happens. So there's this time and the unknown. And sometimes the unknown can be very, very scary. It can even make your life miserable because you don't know what is ahead. Right? And during the week, I was talking to another person, and this person was telling me about how she's just so depressed about life, what's ahead, and she's just so upset about everything. She said, what's my purpose in life? Why am I here? And you know, what's the future like? And the person just feels so dismal. Right? So for Solomon, the unknown is a very, very scary thing. And he makes it very, you know, he becomes very depressed about it. Okay? And time is a very important thing to really understand. Just so we just had our Sunday school retreat. And yesterday night, the clock wasn't working in the sanctuary. Right? The clock wasn't working. And so they were trying to get different people to start the clock. Right? And then it took some time. Then Pastor was asking this question. How many hands does it take to start a clock? He was just asking like that. And I was answering to the group of people. Two hands. How many hands does it start? Two hands. Right? Our hand. Huh? Okay lah, mine is still old clock. Right? Two hands. Yeah, okay, never mind. and time will just go by, and you know, it's very scary when you don't know the unknown. Right? There's a fear of the unknown can cause anxiety. Anxiety can cause people to be depressed. The unknown causes people to increase greatly in misery. To such an extent that, wow, good, glad you are coming. I thought today only Matthias. Okay, never mind, good that you are here. And it can be very miserable when you think about the future, right? And so for Solomon, he just felt so miserable, you know, a tremendous misery. In fact, during the week, another person came up to me and was telling me about how there was this so-called, you know, staunch Christian in from another church, and he seemed to be, you know, everything's going fine for him. The wife works in the church, and all of a sudden he just took his life. Right? And that's so sad. And why did he take his life? Anxiety. Anxiety at work, anxiety at life. And that's scary. That's sad. That's very, very sad. You see, that's life. That's life and the unknown. If you don't know how to look at it and respond to it, it can be a very, very challenging thing to go through when you don't know the unknown. And the unknown scares you in a very, very, I mean, powerful way. And in a way that causes you to be so down and upset. And that's what he's feeling. Right? So there's time and judgment. There's time and the unknown. And then, of course, the one that everybody's scared of. Time and death. One day, we all will die. Time and death. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has the power in the day of death. That's time. In the day of death is the day when your time is up. Can you see all these ideas of time, these concepts of time? So time and judgment, time and the unknown, time and death. When death comes, you got no choice. You can't say, oh, you know, okay, maybe you can tahan a few days. You know, have you all seen, people the will to live? You know, they are dying, but somehow they tahan a few more days. Have you all seen? Have you seen? They wait for someone to come back, right? My grandma, I was in Singapore as a pilot trainee. My Pastor Mark, my father, my eldest brother, everybody was in Bangkok for SEA Games. Okay, I was the only one here. And halfway through my training, my advanced training, on the first day, I got a call from my uncle. He said, hey, you better come out. Grandma is going to die again. So I got special permission to leave and to be with my grandma. And I called my father, told them, but they couldn't come back until Saturday. So that was Monday. My grandma held on. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. Saturday, they all came back. Lunchtime, everybody went to see my grandma. So my grandma, you know, she was obviously in a coma. She couldn't respond, but everybody all came. And then at about 4 o'clock, I was there with Pastor Mark. She opened her eyes. She opened her eyes, and then we told her, okay, you know, everybody's back. You know, you can go to be with the Lord. And, we're going to pray for you. So she just opened her eyes. We spoke to her in Chinese. And told her that, you know, you can go and be with the Lord. Go and be with Grandpa. And 4:30, her BP went down. Her BP went down. And she was the first person I ever saw with my own eyes where a person leaves the body, when a person dies. So her BP went down, slowly. And of course, we were all crying. And then finally, you know, I had to call my parents, everybody ought to come back. And then they came back in the evening, and then she passed on. That's the first one I saw. And another one that I saw was this family. And it was a bit awkward, this one. So I was there observing. And they were waiting, you know, and he was obviously gasping for breath, and he was still dying. And then he took this last breath. Or rather, they thought it was the last breath. So he took the last breath. Then everybody all started crying. I mean, it was sad, everybody was crying. Then about 2-3 minutes later, he took another breath. And I tell you, everyone was shocked. So everyone was crying. And then the moment he took that breath, everybody stopped crying. And I was standing behind. I was thinking, what's going on? Have you all seen this before? Huh? So I realized that don't decide on the person dying. Wait until he really, or when a doctor comes. So, wow, he took another breath. Everybody was shocked. Wow. And then he really passed. Everybody was a bit stunned. Don't know whether to cry or to wait for a while. But they didn't carry on crying because I think they were a bit stunned. And but it was quite a, I mean, that was the second time I saw another person pass away. And then the third one, there was another one of the members in our church who passed on of a brain tumor. And then the person, you know, person was talking to us at about lunchtime, and then about 1-2 o'clock, wow, she started moving backwards. It's like she wasn't in control anymore, you know, kind of a fit. And then she passed away about, we were there about 4-something. So when death come in, and she was only about, 40 years old? Yeah, she had a brain tumor. She survived, you know what? She survived the Silk Air crash. The Taiwan crash. You know the crash in Taiwan? there was this plane that crashed in Taiwan, SIA plane. I don't think you remember. And she survived it. And she survived it. And then along the way, she had cancer. Wow. And it was such a blow to her. And death comes. Death comes to anyone at any time. And that's something that Solomon find it very hard to come to terms with. No one can hold back the spirit from leaving. No human has the power to retain it. Humans have no control over the day of death. When do you die? I really don't know. Okay, maybe you can prolong life a bit. Right? People can prolong life a bit. But somehow, inevitably, you will die. Right? So there's this thing called the war. There's no release from that war. Huh. What does that mean? There's no release from that war. And then, of course, doing wickedness would not deliver. Wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. In other words, you pay the price when death comes. So there's time and judgment, time and the unknown, time and death. Okay, and one more time thing, okay? Let's time it. time and bad leadership. Okay? Bad leadership. If you are a leader and then you end up making wrong decisions, you will end up bringing hurt to yourself. So, and this I've seen, verse 9, applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time. See, again, the idea of time. There is a time in which one rules over another to his own hurt. In other words, you can end up as a ruler, a king, or someone in a position where you make bad decisions and you rule over another person and it is to your own hurt. See, so leadership doesn't mean it's a good thing. Sometimes people make bad decisions and you know what? You affect people. And when you affect people, people can bring hurt upon themselves. So recently there was this young little girl who was abused by the parents and there were so many, you know, bad things that could have, you know, things could have been done to avoid this problem. Right? What's her name? Sorry? Megan Guang or something like that, right? And I mean, the police, this lady constable could have done something a bit more, but sometimes, okay, you know, I was just talking to someone who was in a, you know, in the kindergarten, play school kind of thing, and he said that sometimes, you know, children come with wounds. There was one, the bruise, there was a girl who came with a bruise. It was a parent who threw something at her. And, so sometimes these things do happen. But the parents, you know, you can't do anything beyond a certain level. But then, you know, when you have bad leadership, it affects people, it affects you. Right? So time and bad leadership. Time. And it all ends. Okay, so today we're going to talk about time. Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask about what I've just said? This whole idea of time. What do y'all think? Mason, what do you think? What concerns you the most of all these four? Okay, all 1, 2, 3. Okay, what? You're right. It's scary. And you know, it can, you know, if you don't know how to respond to it, you can actually become very anxious about it. Which, out of the three, which one most scares you the most? Huh? The unknown, right? I think this is a big issue for everybody. The unknown. Right? I have no control about the future. No one has the power in the day of death. For he does not know what will happen. And so, who can tell him when it will occur? Wow. Well, what do you think? Anybody? What do you think? Let's ask all the men first. Then we can ask all the ladies. The unknown. What about? What aspect about the unknown? That's why a lot of people like to go into this thing called horoscope. You know, fortune. What are modern things that people look at? Like my time was horoscope. Huh? They still look at horoscope. Which star you are and what you will go through. Right? A lot of people, okay, that's why the unknown is such a scary thing and it's such big business because of that. Okay? Are we on?
Judges.
Okay, so the word judgment here is not a reference to God's judgment. Okay, from when you look at the context and you look at the Hebrew word and we look at the whole idea, is the idea of discerning. Hmm. Right? Time and judgment. So it has to go together with this idea of discernment. So we ascertained the last time that it is about how you judge the time that you're gonna have. What you're gonna do with your time. Right? And the decisions that you make. Okay? Is later on, we'll talk about God's judgment. It'll be in the context. Because every time it is with reference to God's judgment, God will be mentioned. He will judge. He will bring about judgment. So it's a very direct way of looking at the idea of God's judgment. Whereas here, it's about judgment. How you choose. What do you choose in life? It is a matter of discernment. Can you see? Yeah.
So I fear number one.
You fear the number one. Okay. Why? Make wrong choice. Getting married. Hey, too late already.
Not everything.
Once you go BMC, that's it lah. Sorry. No. But I tell you, there was once a couple who went for BMC, and when pastor was talking and we were, last time we actually had physical class, and halfway through the BMC, they decided not to get married. Because they realized they were not compatible. They were having a lot of arguments, they were having a lot of difficulties, and it was a good decision. Because actually, they were not. I mean, we all saw it, that this couple wasn't. So, my 30 years being in Bethany, I think there was only one. So, it can happen, you know. Are you having...
Let's move on.
Are you having second thought? No, we haven't finished yet. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Brian, what do you think?
Exhibition is the most scary.
Huh?
Exhibition is the most scary.
No, which are you most concerned about?
I think also judgment. I think the thought that, I don't know, sometimes it feels like we make decisions without guide rails. And that's scary.
Without guide rails, okay. Yeah. And I mean, sure, it's scary. And that's why, I mean, this time of studying the scriptures, learning again and again and again, really understanding the will of God, like what I shared, you know, previously from the idea of Philippians, right? To really understand, to have spiritual, to have knowledge in all discernment. Right? Better still, Colossians 1, filled with the knowledge of His will. So the knowledge and understanding of God's will is so crucial. And I can tell you, when I was your age, I had limited understanding of God's will. Sometimes you think, okay, I've come to a certain stage, and partly was because of my pride. I've already been in church for so long, I know what is the will of God. But I tell you, after studying the scriptures for the next 30 years, and now I've been studying the scriptures for 30 years, wow, you really understand things very differently. Very different. My perspective now, 30 years ago, big difference. And so that's where the constant learning must come. I know you're afraid. I know that you're afraid to make bad decisions. But I tell you, I made lots of bad decisions. But it was through those bad decisions, sometimes, where I learned. I learned a lot from doing certain things that I shouldn't have done. Right? Or I said certain things that I shouldn't have said. It's inevitable at times, at this stage. I can tell you that. You're not going to live your life in perfect harmony where you make all good decisions. But the challenge is, can we keep learning? Can we keep coming to learn and to grow? And then we can find that kind of wisdom that God wants us to. Right? It's going to take a lifetime. Okay? Okay. Now we go to the ladies. Okay, Sarah. Start with you. Anything that you're concerned about? Anything? Okay, you can raise up anything that you want.
I think for me also judgment. But after what you just said about how it's impossible to always make the right judgment.
Yep.
But the challenge is to constantly learn from it.
Yep.
Yeah. I think another one that I'm a bit scared of is death.
What?
Death.
Death. Yeah. Okay. Why death?
I think it's just, I guess I'm scared of the suffering that comes with it.
Sure. Are you afraid of death? That you go to heaven or you go to heaven or?
I think
that one's settled already, lah. Is it settled? Not settled.
Yes.
Settled already, right? I hope. Yeah, but it's just the suffering, lah. I think most people are afraid of that. Okay, the suffering part before you die. So the best thing is, oh Lord, give me a heart attack. When I'm preaching or teaching YAG. And then everybody will remember that lesson for the rest of their life, right? Gone. Time and judgment. Time and... right? Yeah, I mean, it's something that we all are afraid. And that's why it says here, no, there is no release from that war. That war is with reference to the war with death. Okay? So this is something that I don't think you can totally eradicate. It's not going to be something that is going to go away totally, even as you grow in your faith. It's just something that we cannot be released from. Even now also that, you know, you may think that, okay, you know, death is not something that you really think about as much. It's not going to affect you as much because you're still very healthy. There's a whole life ahead of you. But when the time comes, and when you are faced with that, it's just something that everybody feels. It will just come. And it's something that you have to cross, you have to overcome when it comes. Right? But till then, I think the best thing to do is to be able to look at life that God has given to us and live as best as we can. And when it comes, if you have a heart attack, you've got no time to think and die. The next person you see is the Lord. Right? So you don't have to worry about that. But if you, like for some people along the way, they may suffer from a certain disease or cancer or whatever. Then again, we don't have to worry about that. When it comes, then we deal with it. That's the best way. Because if you start worrying, what if I have this, what if I have that, then you get very paranoid with life. That's one of the things that we see in Solomon. He becomes very afraid, anxious, paranoid about things. Don't. Look at life. Look at the blessings of God. And there's so much to be thankful for. Right? Rather than to look at all the negative things. To count our blessings. You're healthy. Right? The whole life ahead of you. Isn't it? Are you still sailing? No more of you. So what's your hobby now? Like what? Boxing, karate, high. calisthenics. Power lift. Oh, you'd be surprised. Wow, 1,000 kg. That's a lot. Huh? Then what? Wow, push up. How many can you do? Okay, how many can you do? 10, 20, 10. About 1 year ago, I can only do 3. Now I can do 20. Not bad. 1 year to do 20. How many can you do? And what was your answer? So how many sets can you do? Five sets of 10. Wow, I'm a challenger one day. I can do 3 sets of 10. Yeah, okay, give me... Okay, yeah. Okay, sure. I mean, we're all afraid of death. And but don't focus on it. Okay, don't focus. Yes, when it comes, then we face it. Right? I think that's how we should see it, rather than to be afraid of it, to keep fighting it. When it comes, when we are in danger, like, okay, tomorrow at the SSS2, there's this girl who's gonna, her name is Jen, she's gonna share about how she has cancer, breast cancer, and she has 3 children, teens, they are all in their teens, and how she struggled with it for 2 weeks. She was weeping and crying, but then she said, you know what, I'm just gonna fight this. So thank God it's not too bad, it's just stage 1, and went for an operation. Wow, she had such a challenging time going for the operation and all. But God was with her. And today, she just continues to carry on. And one of the things she said, told the Lord one day, she said, if I die, I die. Lord, take care of my children and my husband. If you want me to go with you. And you know, that's how she dealt with the idea of death. Right? And the time will come, we can deal with it, and we have the faith. Look at Uncle Beng Ho. 3 times he almost died. And he's still here. Can still go on a holiday. You know, he's still having a good time. He almost died. I tell you, there was one operation he went, it was so dangerous. He was in a coma. I tell you, Auntie Michelle was crying, and Pastor Ma was there, we were praying. He just couldn't respond after the operation. Several days really, wow, I tell you, it was like, oh, don't tell me he's going to be in a coma. And then one day he just opened his eyes. Boom. And he was alive. I tell you, that's the grace of God. Right? So every day I pray, I tell you, I pray that God will grant me great grace and great mercy for today. Not just mercy and grace, great mercy and grace every day. And every day, God grants me great grace and grace. Okay? And then when the time comes, then the Lord will just take us home according to His will. And if you're afraid of suffering, there was this lady, I must tell you a story. There was a lady who had cancer. And she's afraid of suffering. And she's, wow, very well-to-do, have all the help that she can get, medical help. But she was afraid. She told Pastor, you know, I'm very, very afraid of suffering. And she had stomach cancer. And throughout a bout of cancer, and she had 4th stage cancer, and then she knew she was going to die. But throughout her bout of cancer, she never felt pain. So before the last few days, she told Pastor, we went to visit her, you know, thank God, Pastor, I never felt pain. Wow. That's the Lord's grace to her and mercy. And she's a very, very nice lady. But on the other hand, there's this man who is very, very stubborn, very, very, wow, very proud. He really, really suffered. We see him every day. Wow, he said, wow, Pastor, like, Pastor, he said, I cannot tahan, really. It's so painful. But he's a very stubborn, very arrogant man. And I think that was God's way of humbling him. And towards the end, wow, he really just, you know, appreciate the Lord a bit. So the moral of the story, be humble. Be nice to people. And maybe the Lord will, you know, you never know how these things will happen. Okay, okay, next. Glory, what do you think? Time is money. Maybe I'll add one more. Time and money. Sure. Yeah, fine. Yep. Yep. Sure. Well, you stand by what is you choose, right? But what if it's a wrong decision? Or not a wise decision? Will you still stand by it? Should you stand by it? Stand what? Stand corrected. So in the earlier stages of my life, I made some decisions, some good, some not so good. And then I realized that it took me years to understand that I needed to be corrected. Sure. We can stand by our decision, but sometimes you learn that, that wasn't a very good decision. And we should be corrected. And a large part of my life as a pastor, especially under Pastor Charlie, is correction. Is constantly correcting. Right? You realize that actually there are a lot of things that you don't understand or you can't see the big picture, they don't have the wisdom to be able to perceive things. And that's where through correction, through constant guidance, through sometimes rebuke, that we learn the right things and we make the right decisions. And that's where you have the wisdom ultimately to be a blessing to people, right? Did I tell you about I was walking one day and then I was wearing the t-shirt by faith? You know, the t-shirt that you all got, I think it was youth conference, right? By faith. Last year's youth conference by faith. And I was walking along the park connector and I stopped at the traffic light and there was this guy who turned to me and said, "Are you a Christian? I see your t-shirt by faith." I say, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." "Oh, you're a pastor. Hey, pastor, I got a problem." "I got a problem that I need to talk to you." I say, "Okay, like myself, since you're walking in the right direction, you know, same direction." And he said, "No, pastor, I'm going to get married 2 weeks' time. And I'm very stressed." I say, "Okay, tell me your problem." And we walk and we talk and somehow I had the wisdom to tell him what to focus on. And at the end of it, he was very thankful. He goes to another church, but he said that at the moment I was just thinking about God and I was looking at, "Well, God, can you send someone along the way?" And I was the answer to his prayer. It was such a coincidence, my goodness. And just that 15 minutes talking to him, it was just, you know, he was encouraged, and then I say goodbye, good luck. And I didn't say good luck. Well, all the the Lord's blessing as you get married 2 weeks' time. Poor fellow. Must be stressed. Okay, yeah, good. Keep learning, keep being open to the Lord's guidance and even correction along. That's how I learned. That's how I learned to make good decisions along. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And I think that's very important because this year is going to end very soon. Right? And every year it just goes by. And time, you realize as you grow older, because you work and there are responsibilities, it just, boom, wow. Right? Before you know it, you'll be 50 years old. Right? Right? You never know. When I was your age, you're what, 20, 30? Huh? 29, getting 30. Yeah, getting 30 already, lah, right? 30, big 30. Yeah, when I was that age, I was thinking, wow, you know, when I was 22, I was thinking, wow, 30 years old, so old. I'm 50, I'm going to be double already, 60. I'm going to be 60 in 2 years' time. My goodness. I was talking to someone during the week, and someone asked me from church, say, hey, so how are you? I say, I'm 58. Huh? 58? But the reaction was, you're so old already, you're 58. Oh. Yeah, la, then what do you expect me to be young? All this, I cannot be young all my life, right? Yeah, the person said, well, 58 already, my goodness. Huh? Probably it's because if I'm old, then the person is even older because he's 10 years older. Right? Yeah. So that's the challenge. Time will just go by very, very quickly. And so what I do, I tell you what I do, okay? Because everything will just go by. Service, whatever you do. And sometimes you don't know beyond a certain level how much impact you have made in people's life. Okay? But I tell you what I do to make sure that the time is not wasted. I reflect. I reflect and I grab hold of lessons that I want to practice in my life. And I grab hold of it. I don't grab all the lessons, I grab some lessons, and I hold on to it, and I take it with me to next year. Because if you don't hold on to it, and you don't keep it, it's just gone. And then your life is just memories of the year, and before you know it, you forget everything. Time just goes by. Right? Can you remember when you and JC won? Not much, right? You were sailing then, right? Yeah, but not much. Right? Then the older you get, the less you remember, the less you remember. And it becomes a blur after a while. But what can you remember? What I remember most are the lessons at the point of time where it really mattered. Those are the lessons I still hold on to. So during the week, during a funeral, I was having lunch, having dinner, you know, before the week, before the vigil service with this guy who's new in church. And I shared about lessons from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, from someone, pertinent, important passages and lessons I learned that made a difference in my life. Right? One of the things that I'm learning this year, with reference to the things that we have learned, is the idea of solitude and inquiring in prayer. That was the last retreat that we had. That's something, learning to watch and pray. Learning how to, you know, the series of messages from 2 Corinthians. And those were the lessons that I hold very, very closely. I memorized quite a few of the passages, and there was the previous series of messages that we just had. Right? And those were lessons that I continue to hold on to. Especially my message that I preach in the morning worship service. This treasure in earthen vessels. So, you cannot remember all the lessons, but you can hang on to one or two or few with you. That is not wasted. That can stay with you. That can help you go further. And that's how I look at my year. Not at what I achieved or done, but what lessons I can really take with me for the year. And in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, the year's going to end. Right, November is going to come already. Then December. Then down memory lane. What is it you're going to remember, that down memory lane? What is it that you have learned and made part of your life? To me, that is more important than anything that you have done. It's what you're going to take with you to next year. And then the year starts again. And then what are you going to take with you to 2027? Next year is 2026, right? And then 2027, 2028, and 2030. Wow. Such a big number. You know, last time, when in 1980, there was this show called 1999. It's a space show. Wow, very advanced. 1999 is so advanced. Wow, I was the 1980. Wow, you mean it's going to be like that? Of course, it's just a show. And 1999 came, and 2000 came, and wow, 2000 was such a, you know, before that, 1999, everybody's going to have doomsday. You know, all the pastors are, wow, Christ is going to come. And then the Y2K, wow, everybody doomsday. Now it's 2025 already. My goodness, 25 years later already. And it's going to 2030 soon. No more gas cars, right? All electrical cars already from then onwards. Correct? Right or not? Right? From 2030, you cannot buy any more cars with engine, gas engine. You only can buy electrical cars. Time. Take something with you. Take a few things with you. And the only thing that you can take with you are lessons and principles that you have learned. The rest, soon you'll be gone. Okay? And then perhaps that will help you to grow further. Right? Sure. Unknown. Yeah. Yes. Crazy. Yes, it is. Huh? Sure. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. The global warming, the wars, the whatever. Sure. But partly it's also for this generation, this is something that you are going through. Then there's advance in AI, there's global warming, there are these two wars that are going on. But actually it's nothing new. It's nothing new. It's something that during my time when I was your age also happened to me. Gulf War, right? Iraq War. So there were wars going on at that point of time. And yes, sure, it seemed like, you know, it's scary what's going to come next. And that's where we really got to trust the Lord. See, the best thing to do when you look at the unknown is to trust the God who knows. Right? Since I don't know what's going to be ahead, but I can trust that God knows what is ahead. So the book of Revelation is a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book because it talks about, of course it's also very scary, all the judgment that will come, but it also tells you that God is in control. God is absolutely in control of time, of lives, of His, you know, ultimate timeline. He has a timeline. Right? We may not know what that timeline is, but He has a timeline for life, for Earth. And one day, Earth will be non-existent. It will be a new Earth. This Earth will pass away. Right? And what is the only thing that will survive? Everything else will be destroyed. Only one thing will survive. What is it? Of course, God will survive, but what is one thing that will survive? Yes, the Word of God will live forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It will survive. And if what, when you die, what would you take with you? Right? There's this story about this man who, before he died, he told his wife, "Hey, when I die, make sure you put a coffin on the first floor and then a bag of gold on the second floor." Ah. Okay, so that's what the wife, when he died, he put the wife put a bag of gold on the second floor. Several days went by, then finally, the bag of gold is still there. Finally, the wife said, maybe I should put it on the basement. You understand? Because he didn't go to heaven, he went to hell. Matthias, you got it, well done! Right? You can't take anything with you. You didn't get it? Did you get it? You didn't get it? Did you get it? You got it? Only other guys got it, did you get it? Only the guys got it. See? You get it? No. Alamak. Okay. Yeah, and I think that, sure, and ultimately we just got to trust that God is absolutely in control. Right? Time is something that's not in our control, but God knows everything. The future. That's why the Lord says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." Right? The book of the Revelation. I am, I was, I am, I will be. You know the passage, let's turn to Revelation 1. So in Revelation 1, I mean, if you have not been reading the devotions on Revelation 1, I'm going to encourage you. Wow, it's beautiful. He's taking his time. So Pastor is taking his time. Yeah, go ahead. Pastor is taking his time. Revelations 1, 2, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And in verse 8, it says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Right? In other words, that's the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in absolute control. So we just, our part is just to trust Him. Okay? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Right? That's Hebrews 12. Okay, next. What do you think? Number 2, the unknown. Okay. Yeah. In what aspect? Huh? Sure. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And that's part of us. We all want to know. We want to, you know, get things done in a certain way. We want to be in control. Partly because we want to be in control of things. And I think that's something we all grew up with, that you have to be, you are the, there's this famous poem, you are the control, the author of your destiny, or something like that. Nelson Mandela, he was in prison, so there was this very famous poem that I'm the captain of my destiny, or something like that. Okay, anyway. Right, and so sometimes people think, okay, I need to be in control, but actually we are not. So this passage tells us that actually we are not in control of life. And the challenge is to, once again, trust. We must learn to trust. And it's very hard to trust. It's very hard to trust, especially when we have, you know, it's something that it's hard to just let go. And so that's where trust is. You know, we really have to trust God with all our hearts. Lean not upon our own understanding in all our ways and knowledge. And then He will direct our path. The unknown, can be knowable if we trust. He can direct our path. So we don't know, and yet we can know. We can know that if we do certain things the way that God wants us to, we can know that He's going to be there. We can know that the promise of blessing will be there. We can know that He can prosper the work of our hands. We can know that He has plans for us, which is good. Right? There's His goodness in our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 23. Right? Psalm 23, he says that you have prepared a table before me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You know, and so when the Lord is our shepherd, He will lead us and guide us. I will fear no evil. You are with me. His presence is there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. So one thing is for sure is that if we have the Lord as our shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow us every day. All the days of my life. And one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is something that we can be sure. Right? Goodness and mercy. You see, so there are a lot of unknown, and yet there's some that can be known. If we trust and we follow the Lord in a certain way, isn't it? And why don't we just hold on to that? That goodness, that mercy, that grace, that strength will be there for us. And that's how I get through every day. When I became a pastor, I cannot imagine how it's going to be 10, 20 years from now. But I live day by day, week by week, month by month. And it's been 30 years. I'm still here. Right? Which I'm so thankful. What's going to be in the future? Well, I'm still going to apply the same principles. I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to live my life for the Lord. I'm going to follow Him and try to win as many souls as possible and then see how it all goes. Right? Okay? So let's learn to trust His word, His promises. If there's one thing you want to trust, it's His promises. God told Abraham, come out from where you are and I will bless you. Right? And he learned. The first step of faith is to trust His promises. And he did. He obeyed. And the Lord blessed him. One step at a time. Okay? That's how we face the future. Okay, Alina? Yeah. Sure. Yep. Yes, sure. And we are all anxious about these things, about life, about how things will be at the end of the day. And our challenge is to, you know, once again, trust that we have a God who can lead us and guide us in life, right? And we must be able to see that His hand is going to be there all the way. And I think that's something that we want. Let's turn to Proverbs 16 for a while and let's take a look. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. That's very interesting, isn't it? It should be the other way, right? Commit your, you know, establish your work, commit your thoughts, right? And then your works will be established, but commit your works to the Lord and then your thoughts will be established. So in other words, let's pray about the future with reference to your work. In verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we can plan, yes, but let the Lord direct your steps. where are you going to go? Can we trust the Lord to direct our steps? And He will. He will direct our steps if we truly trust in Him. And I think that's the best way to live, when the Lord is there to guide us and to lead us. Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. He will find goodness in his life. Right? And whoever trusts in the Lord, he will be happy. Right? Happiness will come. He will have a happy life. Right? Mason, you want to have a happy life? Can we find happiness? Yes! Definitely. If we trust the Lord, if we heed His word. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? The wise of in heart will be called prudent. Sweetness of his lips increases learning. Wow. Can you see this? But if you go your own way, there's a way that seems right to a man. Verse 25, but the end of the way is death. You want to go and do your own things then? I mean, sometimes death can come. Right? And so the best thing is, let's plan, let's trust the Lord, commit our ways to Him. But you know what? Let Him direct our paths, and He will. So that is the part where I trust. Sure, we all are afraid of the unknown. I mean, there's something I had to grapple with then. But finally, I realized that when you really trust God, when you seek Him and you pray, let Him lead you, you obey, you submit to His will, He will bless. He will direct. He will grant goodness and mercy. He will give you happiness. Right? What more do you want? If you can be happy in life, what more do you want? Isn't it? Right? Can we be happy in life? My answer is yes. Am I happy with life as a pastor? Yes. I am. Right? Especially when you walk along the way and then someone in a car come and ask you, can you help me? And yeah, okay, I'd be happy to help you. Right? So that's why I wear the t-shirt, my by faith, or the Why Youth Conference t-shirt I always wear. Right? You never know who will come along the way. Okay? Okay, anything else you want to ask? So let's look at life. Life is complex. Life is not easy. Okay? So I want to leave with three things before you all go. Number one, life is far more complex than we realize. From here, you see, actually, life is very complex. Okay? We need to broaden our perspective of life. Broaden. Don't be fixed. Sometimes we can end up being very fixed. Broaden. Go beyond the fixed ideas that we have. Because there's so much more to learn. There's so much more that we can discover. Don't be fixed. Thirdly, let's learn to trust God fully for the future. Let's expand our understanding. Let's see God's bigger picture. Let's see God's timeline, not our own. Because if you can see God's timeline, you can see God's hand in the future, you can see God's blessing, God's promises coming true, then we can trust Him fully, isn't it? We don't have to worry about when we will die, when what will happen in the future. We have a God who knows the unknown. And we can trust the unknown to a God. Isn't it? That's how I live. Okay, I'm much older than you. When will I die? Of course, I'm nearer to death than you are, right? Because I'm much older. But can I trust God when it does come? I'm going to be 60 really in 2 years' time. Thank God. Oh, now God. What? When you watch movie, half? Huh? $5? My goodness. Yeah, I'm just going to go to a movie. $5. And then bus? Bus fare? No half price. But I know got some benefits like when you reach 60, right? And then 65, wow, can take out some more money. Government will give you a certain amount of money every month. Look forward. Then 70, okay, you can celebrate birthday. Everybody 70 years old, they celebrate their birthday, right? No? Anyway, we'll see. When I reach 70. Okay, Ken, let's keep trusting the Lord. Anything else you want to raise up? Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that you are God who knows the unknown, who's there, who has been there, and a God who can lead us, direct our paths as we plan our lives. We know that sometimes the unknown can cause anxiety. Sometimes it can depress us. But help us, Lord, to be able to come before you and trust you even more and trust your promises, trust your plans, trust your timeline. Help us to see the bigger picture, to go beyond where we are, you know, fixed ideas, to see that life can be very complex, and yet we can trust you for all things, with all our hearts. So bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.